The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Now, the battle for medical equipment has been one of the key factors in the war against the virus in the United States. Let's have a listen to New York Governor Andrew Cuomo and New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy on the battle for ventilators on the open marketplace.
Every state does its own purchasing. So New York is purchasing, California is purchasing, Illinois is purchasing. We're all trying to buy the same commodity, literally the same exact item. So you have 50 states competing to buy the same item. We all wind up bidding up each other and competing against each other, where you now literally will have a company call you up and say, well, California just outbid you. It's like being on eBay with 50 other states bidding on a ventilator.
It's the Wild West. These are crazy markets, and you got a lot of bad actors.
And that's New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy, and before that, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. But now the United States has been accused of modern piracy by officials in Europe after claims that the U.S. has been intercepting shipments of crucial medical supplies on their way to Europe from Asia. Meanwhile, the peak of the COVID-19 surge is expected to hit New York and nearby areas this week, and supplies of ventilators remain short. Going to New York now, and Terry Sheridan, who's managing editor of WSHU Public Radio. Terry, good morning.
And good morning to you, Pat.
Now, we know the governors are quietly at war with Donald Trump, although they're trying to be nice a lot of the time in public, but they're deeply unhappy with the federal aid that's coming and that it's not really coming in a timely fashion.
That's right. I mean, last week there were several bizarre statements by Jared Kushner, the special advisor to Donald Trump, his son-in-law, that the federal stockpile did not belong to the states. It belonged to, quote, them, meaning the federal government. You heard Governor Cuomo's exasperation in that cut, and that basically boils down the whole problem, whether it's in New York or Connecticut or New Jersey, or whether it's the United States, Germany, or France. Pretty much, it's basically the Wild West, in which literally you can think you acquired supplies, and then just to find out that someone else actually outbid you, and the company will give it to the highest bidder. One of the big problems that they're complaining about here, Governor Cuomo and everybody, is that when the government releases some of its supplies, it's not going directly to the states or to the local municipalities. It's going to private companies who then can charge what they say are market prices to the states for these supplies.
But that's crazy stuff. Absolutely crazy stuff. Now, the president was having a go at 3M. And one of the reports that we've got about this modern day piracy is that a consignment of PPE, masks for the Berlin police force, were intercepted in Bangkok. And instead of going to Europe, they were flown to the United States. Now, 3M has said there's no evidence to suggest that 3M products have been seized. But there is an ongoing war of words between 3M and the president, because 3M are saying, listen, we sell to everybody. And if we stop selling stuff to our customers in Canada and South America and Central America, a lot of the manufacturers will actually stop supplying us. So,
absolutely.
You know, try and understand what's going on, Mr. President.
Absolutely. And again, the president tweeted about that, in which he sort of bragged about, hey, you know, 3M was going to sell their supplies to foreign countries. I put a stop to that because they're coming to America. And as you said, 3M basically said, well, wait a minute, this is a global market and you shut us down from preventing us from selling to other countries. And it's just going to fall back on us. And this is one of the crazy signs. It's also one of the litmus tests here in the United States, because those who are supporters of President Trump are saying, look what he did. He's making sure American masks stay in American hands. His critics are saying, wait a minute, this is crazy. You can't do this.
I was watching a guy called Michael Lewis last night on Meet the Press, who wrote a book about the transition from the Obama presidency to the Trump presidency. And then Trump comes in and he fires everybody. And he says that in that particular period, that's where you find the roots of the problem, that all of the people, all of the experts in the Obama administration, many of whom he'd inherited from the Bush administration, all of these people had the knowledge as to how to do things, how to face certain threats, and Trump fired them all. So Absolutely. Basically, he came in with his own team, and really, they are ill-prepared for dealing with this.
Absolutely. Not only did he do that, but he turned jobs and positions that were non-political. They were career jobs, and these people served under Republican and Democratic administrations, and they were considered the experts. They knew what they were doing. President Trump cleaned all that out and either, you know, fired people or made it so that people had to quit, whether we're talking about health, whether we're talking about science, and put in people who fit his political view. The other thing that the president did was, again, at the beginning of the year, when the national security apparatus was saying, hey, this is coming down the road. We're talking late December and early January. This is coming down the road. We need to prepare for this. Those warnings were ignored. And then publicly, the president was downplaying the threat until basically the middle of March.
He also said, well, you know, you can wear a mask, any kind of an old thing will do, but I'm not going to wear one because when I meet presidents and kings and queens and dictators, he mentioned, I'm not going to wear one. The message from his Surgeon General, quite the opposite. I saw him on Meet the Press demonstrating how to make a mask and put one on and recommending that, you know, my mask saves you and your mask saves me, which is the mantra from the Czech Republic. So they're all over the place, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, there's this whole misinformation, this whole confusion, because people still believe that if they wear the mask, they are protecting themselves when, as you just said, that's not the case. It's basically to make sure that if you're asymptomatic, you're not spreading it inadvertently. So there's been several cases in the past, couple of hours, in the past days, where the president has said things that had to be walked back immediately or corrected by his officials. One of them is his recommendations for what drugs to take, and these drugs have not been tested for the purpose that he's proposing them for.
And this is a big row between Fauci and the medical experts and this guy Navarro, who is not a medical man at all, who's taken Trump's side on hydroxychloroquine. The other thing is, of course, you now learn, and if you haven't learned it already, that you don't speak truth to power, as Joe Biden put it. You don't tell the truth to Trump if you want to save your job. And we saw that the captain, Brett Crozier, who it appears has COVID-19 himself, we saw him cheered off the USS Roosevelt aircraft carrier because of the action he took to protect his crew.
That's
but
right.
He was fired.
Yes. And you saw, you know, his 5,000 member strong crew giving him a walk of honor and then, you know, chanting Captain Crozier as he walked off the plank of the ship. What he did was in early March, the USS Roosevelt, Theodore Roosevelt, aircraft carrier, had stopped in Vietnam for leave. And they believe at least one sailor came aboard after he contracted it and spread it out. And we have about 155 sailors on that ship. What Captain Crozier did was he was trying to go up the chain of command and saying, listen, we're going to have a very bad situation here unless you can evacuate the sailors, both who are sick and also, you know, who are healthy, so that we don't have a catastrophe at sea. He tried to go up the chain of command. That didn't work. So he wrote a letter and he distributed it to 30 of his friends. One of those friends leaked the letter to the San Francisco Chronicle, who published it. Within a day, he was given permission to take the ship to Guam and unload the crew as much as possible. But in the process, he was relieved of his command. Now, this is another one of those divides where veterans are saying that's wrong. He was trying to protect his crew. retired military men are saying it's wrong. You know, he may not have done it the best way, but he took action in what he thought was the best interest of his crew. But the upper echelons, the political echelons of the Defense Administration are saying, well, no, he actually put his crew at risk and he embarrassed us. So he was relieved of his command, supposedly. And this is where there's conflicting information. He is going to either be discharged or right now he is he's got a desk job. So to speak, in San Diego, or is making his way back to San Diego for a desk job. But this has definitely touched the rail.
And finally and briefly, Terry, the guy who blew the whistle to Congress on that phone call to Ukraine, he got fired as well.
He got fired, and he got fired late Friday night when everyone had just watched the president give his daily briefing. And got fired immediately after that. I mean, usually it's probably the same in Ireland, but in the United States, when you get a press release at 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, you know it's something that wants to be buried. This was came out at 8:30 at night. So again, it was something that the administration definitely did not want to get traction on.
All right, but of course it did, and releasing it so late drew even more attention to it. Terry, a final text from one of our listeners you might pass on. Kian in Leash says, well, if Trump won't wear a mask, maybe he should wear a muzzle instead. Shut him
no
up
comment.
For a while. Terry Sheridan, who's managing editor of WSHU Public Radio in New York, thank you very much for joining us.